Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of Ghost Hunters Society. Nice, Brian.
Well, you always complain I don't use different songs and sound effects, so there you go.
I wasn't expecting Ballsy Bear to interject that, but that was captivating. So how are you, Brian?
It's another week.
Another week. I know. We had fun. We did the Terror Behind the Walls, and all the stuff's kicking into high gear for Halloween. I've booked a haunted hayride for my two kids and myself to go on. That's October 20th at Corrado's Farm. And we promised each other that we're going to bring extra money this year to get load up on those nice cider donuts and the apple cider they make. It's pretty good. But Supernatural. Well, by the time this show uploads, Supernatural have aired the night for the season
the night prior.
Before. Yep. Yeah, but I'm psyched. I cannot wait. I got my Jensen Ackles back. But it's such a good show, so I'm psyched for that. And I don't know if you caught the new show Reaper.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
I watched last week.
Very creative spin, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, very much so.
I enjoyed it. Luckily, I set it up to do the DVRing, because when I was flipping channels, I was like, oh, this already started? It was 15 minutes into it, right. So I just recorded then and there. Mm-hmm. The next day, I watched the 45 minutes that I had recorded. I said, what a good show. So I said, I'm going to go in and make it one of my favorites, and every Tuesday, make sure it captures a brand new episode. Well, you know what? It re-ran the pilot, so the DVR detected it as a new episode on Thursday, so I got the entire pilot so I can show it to my kids, and really good show. But that part on the show where the kid goes through the bedroom door and it turns out to be an ice hockey rink, and the devil's sitting there and he goes, take a guess who my favorite team is.
I wonder.
I was cracking up, and then he gives him a dirt devil. It is such a good show. I'm really, really impressed with it.
It'll be interesting to see how it progresses.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've set up a good storyline, so he's almost like a bounty hunter for the devil, and it's pretty cool. That's
him and
creative.
His best friend.
You know. And I like the way the devil's like, oh, you know, don't worry, I've seen how it ends, and God wins, you know.
Damn it.
And the kid who's playing his best friend, you know, the kind of scruffy kid, he used to play the drummer. I don't know if you remember that show Dead Last.
Nope.
Well, it was about this little up and coming rock band, and he was the drummer, and you had the real steely brunette guy who was the lead guitarist, lead singer, and then there was a chick in there who was kind of on again, off again with the lead guitarist, his boyfriend, girlfriend, but she was like the bass player. It was the three of them, but the kid who in this show was playing his friend, he played the drummer in that show. Okay. And he found some amulet or something, and it kind of like unlocked this curse upon him, and of course his two friends got sucked into it from the band, wherein they could not only see dead people, but dead people knew they could see them and come to them to help right the wrongs and cross over.
Okay.
Yeah, so he would have, they'd be trying to get to a gig and to do their show, and it'd be like dead people would come up, no, you gotta help me, and they're like, oh man, we're never gonna make the gig on time. And each story was very creative. I think they did
that's
one.
That's a spinoff of Ghost.
Or Ghost Whisper, you mean.
Well, both of them are spinoffs of Ghost.
Ghost the movie?
Uh-huh. Whoopi Goldberg?
Not really.
Sure, they all came to her because she could talk
to
them.
Yeah, but not because she found an amulet or something.
Well, yeah, but you know, she could talk to spirits and help them. And
yeah, well, she was really a charlatan. It was just a freak accident that she could hear him. But yeah, so he, it was cool. I think they even did one of the episodes with, citing the whole Eastern flight. What is that, 209 or 409?
I don't remember.
409, you know, the one that crashed and they rebuilt. And, you know, so like this pilot, ghost of a pilot came to the kid and he's like, no, seriously, you got to stop this flight from taking off. There's something shoddy in there. And so they were trying to convince the airline that you can't let this plane take off. It's going to, you know. But yeah, the show was called Dead Last, and they did about, I think, 10 or 12 episodes. Only the pilot and about 4 or 5 of them ever aired in the United States. The rest aired in Canada and it went off. And it's a shame because I really enjoyed it. But I'm glad to see that kid has come in the show in The Reaper. He's good, too. I mean, he's very funny.
He's found his niche, and he'll never get any part but this.
Really?
Yep.
just playing the wisecracking
friend.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. But the show Reaper, very good. And it got high marks from critics, but I really liked the way it was done.
It'll be,
it was
it'll
very
be interesting
funny.
To see how it plays out in a couple more weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, and then we've got ChillerCon this weekend.
Oh, ooh. But you forgot about the other premiere.
Huh?
The other premiere that was last week.
What?
Smallville.
That was last week?
That was last week.
Oh, I don't really watch that one.
Awesome.
Is it good?
Awesome.
What happened?
In the premiere or the finale of the...
Premiere, just...
Well, you have to be really a Superman fan to know, but there was a one called Bizarro, who was like an anti-Superman type. Well, he's the one... He came out of the finale, so him and, you know, Clark...
It's like good Clark, bad Clark?
In a way, yeah.
Okay.
So there was that. Let's see. Supergirl has now made her appearance.
Really?
Yes.
Who's that?
Who's Supergirl?
Yeah.
Basically, she's from the same planet. And,
no, I mean, like, how is she disguised in the earthly realm? Is she like his cousin?
Don't know yet. She just soars in
with her cape and S on her chest.
She didn't have anything like that. Like, first she appeared like almost as like a kind of an angel type. And then, you know, towards the end, you see her sitting on top of one of those big water tower things.
Uh-huh.
It says Smallville on it, and then she just flies off. So they really haven't introduced her completely into the whole show yet.
Huh. Okay. But and what happened to...
Lana?
Well, she got blown up.
Well, you thought she got blown up. In this episode, you see she's in Shanghai.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. But what about the quirky blonde girl who...
Chloe?
She went to rescue her cousin because her cousin had been stabbed.
She cried on her.
Yeah.
And there was a big bright light, and then Lois wakes up completely healed.
Yeah, Lois.
And Chloe is, like, unconscious.
Just unconscious?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, when they finally get out after the whole Bizarro... Well, the first Bizarro fight and all that, get her to the hospital. Well, she dies.
Chloe's dead?
Chloe died.
Oh.
Wait a second. Can I finish?
Okay.
Don't be aw yet. Well, so, you know, they saw sorry, blah, blah, blah. Well, then they, later on, a little farther in the episode, they cut to the morgue. And you're looking down at her, and you see the toe tag, and all of a sudden, her eyes open, and she doesn't know where she's banging on it. Help, help, help. Well, Clark happens to still be in the hospital.
And with his supersonic hearing.
And he's just, you know, he's all upset. And all of a sudden his hearing goes like way crazy, hearing everything. And he hears someone banging, help, help. Runs down there, rips the door open. And Chloe's alive.
And all this modern medicine, machines, what have you, she was clinically totally dead.
Yep.
Toe tagged.
They had her death certificate there on the table.
What was the death?
They really didn't, you know, go down to it, or you could read it. You could just see like her name and stuff, and like the doctor's signature and stuff like that.
Interesting. So he saves her.
Sort of. I mean, he just basically just ripped the door off and got her out. But so I mean, basically, that she was considered a meteor freak because of all her exposure to meteors over the years.
Hmm.
Awesome show, though.
Wow. So is it really sticking to plan in terms of like how you know it from comics and stuff?
No.
No?
But
okay.
That's, I think they're doing that to make people watch, because if they stuck it directly to the comics, why would you watch it? Because you know how everything's going to end.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And then Fantastic Four and 1408 have come out on DVD.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're in my collection now.
Ooh. Oh, let's see. So, like, yeah, October 6th, Saturday, I'm going to be at ChillerCon visiting. I don't know if you know, but Dina Chirico sent me a little tidbit here. She said, don't know if you're interested or people in the Yahoo groups would be interested, but it was mentioned that John Zaffis's Haunting in Connecticut, which... You know when they do that, a haunting show that airs on the Discovery Channel?
I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
So it was a haunting in Connecticut. Is being made into a feature-length film. You can check it out at www.imasinmarydasinboy.com/title/TT. That's TomTom 049-2044. Yeah, it's not too easy to find. But
honestly, like I said, I mean,
I checked it out. It doesn't look like much. They don't even have any decent actors slated for it.
I don't think it's going to make it.
I don't either. No offense, John. I mean, it's a great. The Haunting in Connecticut was done really well. Freaked me out. My kids loved it. I DVR'd both parts. And
just needs to stay there and just be the TV show.
Well, I mean, no, you could Hollywood it out, definitely.
Yeah, but
and you know. And it could make a feature length out of it, but it would have to be done really well with really good box draw actors. Not these no names that got slated.
Ain't
you know?
Happen.
I mean, you'd have to bring in, well, let's have fun with this. Let's see.
Well, tell you what, just look at the remake of the Amityville Horror. That was horrible.
Well, I thought it was pretty good because it had special effects stuff. But still, they made a movie out of it, right? And out of the book. And I think if you took A Haunting in Connecticut, and you, let's say you put, what's that girl with the, she would be perfect. You know the redhead, long, straight red hair? She's,
Deborah Messing?
No. The hell now? I can't remember her name for the life of me. And an ex-boyfriend of mine used to have the biggest crush on her. Shoot. Well, anyway, I would pick her to be like the mother.
Okay.
And, who could you get for, like, the father would have to be somebody decent, like a good draw. Even if you put in, like, Jim Carrey or somebody, you know, some name like that, that would be believable as the father and, you know, and I don't know. You'd have to have really good. That's going to drive me nuts, her name now. Name some other redheads. It wasn't Nicole Kidman. It wasn't Messing. It was. She's got the long straight hair.
I don't know.
She was in that movie where her son goes missing, and I think it was that other famous black guy that she was opposite in the movie, and she's trying to find where her kid went. Remember, they show the scene of the swing being empty on the playground, and she's having all these weird flashbacks, and it's like somebody had screwed with her memory or something.
Never saw that movie.
Damn.
Oh well.
Oh well. Well, anyway. It would need a lot of work in terms of really getting some good box office draw people into the movie. I mean, I saw on the website the people they have slated. It's not going to do it, you know? Anyway, now who could we get to play John Zaffis?
Why not John Zaffis?
Oh, no. I mean, he has to have a really good actor portraying him. Sean Connery. Because they both are similar with the nice...
No way they can afford Sean Connery in this movie. Matter of fact, they probably couldn't afford Jim Carrey either.
Well, yeah.
Let's see, just with those two actors alone, we're already talking a $40 million budget, and that's not including anything else.
Well, it is supernatural. Oh, well. So, let's see. I guess I should give you the meeting announcements. We should blow through
Why not?
That.
We've already talked for 13 and a half minutes without getting to those.
Sorry. Well, we had a lot of stuff to cover here. All right. All meetings are free and open to the public to attend, though all meetings start at 7 p.m. and end promptly at 8:30 p.m. The first meeting up at bat from this show is going to be October 16th. That is in Hackettstown. That's the Northwest Division, headed up by Dina Chirico. That takes place in the Community Center, located at 293 Main Street in the Blue Room. Next one, October 25th, is the Northeast Division, headed up by Laura Lindemann. That takes place in the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. And finally, we have the Central Jersey Division, headed up by Gregory and Sherry Irish on November 7th in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. All these dates, times, places are found neatly and conveniently right on the homepage of www.njghs.net. Okay, so that's that for the meetings. Now, I should remind everybody to check out the presentations page of the NJGHS website. You can see where I'll be giving the talk on Paranormal Investigating, Capturing Ghost Pictures and Voices. And we've bounced around a lot. I already bounced down to Burlington County this past weekend, you know, and I got a lot of places to head out to, so it's pretty good. Thank God for GPS. But, yeah, so those lectures are all free, and if you or your group would like to host one of these presentations, you can have the person who runs your, you know, your PR or whatever, your group, give me a call at 908-325-0140 or email me at laurah@njghs.net. Please know that $100 honorarium for time and travel is kindly requested. And you can also check out the Halloween 2007 page. Now, that's a subpage of the presentations page on the njghs.net website, and I'm going to be adding links to it throughout the Halloween season, so you'll be able to check out the haunted happenings and fun things to do this time of year. The first link is probably the most beneficial in terms of locating hayrides and haunted houses anywhere in the United States. It's called hauntedhouseonline.com. Also, you can see some horror classics on the big screen again, thanks to Clearview Cinemas in Suckasunna, New Jersey. Only $5 a seat. And the classics they're going to be showing are The Birds, Psycho, The Exorcist, The Shining. So, make sure you check that out at Clearview. They have, like, I think midnight showings or something on the weekends, and one night during the week at like 7 o'clock or something. But it's only $5 a seat. I definitely want to check out The Shining and Psycho. And I never even saw The Exorcist on the big screen. I was too little when that came out, you know.
Yeah, that's shocking.
So, anyway, you can check that out. It's on the Clearview Cinemas. And like I said, I've made my reservation for Corrado's Farm, the Haunted Hayride. I'm going to be there on October 20th. You can check them out at hayrideofhorrors.com. And you can make your reservation like I did, so when you get there, you don't have to wait in such a long line, because they have a separate line for people who reserved online, and then the line for people who just show up. The ride is $12 a person, and they also have a corn maze and a haunted house, but those are priced separately. So, and they're the people that make the really good donuts and cider. All right, so we're going to go to a commercial break. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
Start making plans now to join us for the paranormal event of 2007.
The Halloween Spooktacular, October 27th, at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor, author of 50 of the best-known books on haunted history, not to mention the Ghost Hunter's Guidebook.
Meet the rock and roll ghost hunter Keith Age from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked, and Del Kazmarek, president of the renowned Ghost Research Society.
Join in the discussion with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and psychic detective Ken Berg.
Meet Becky Ray and Laura Moon, host of Darker Side of the Moon Radio, and of course, there's us.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, live from the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
If that's not enough, folks, there's a free tour of the Greenwood Cemetery and big screen viewing of the 1932 classic movie, The Old Dark House.
There's even a haunted Decatur tour and a late night hunt of the Lincoln Theater itself, sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
Sitting is limited, folks. Make reservations now at www.prairieghost.com. .com/Halloween.html or by calling 888-446-7859. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express accepted.
It's not just spooky.
It's spooktacular.
Okay, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Now here's the new deal for Parashares. If you're not a member of the NJGHS and you send in your paranormal story or experience, you will qualify for membership in the NJGHS. So come on, send in your Parashares. That's $20 value just for sending an email with your story. You can send your Parashares to thedeadline@njghs.net. Right, Brian?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, I guess by now everybody's all heard about the mysterious illness from a meteorite that hits a Peruvian village. It was happened back in August.
Why does it always hit some remote, out-of-the-way village? Doesn't it hit, like, New York City?
Yeah, right? I mean, I remember when this story hit, I saw it on the Yahoo News, and I forwarded a copy of the story to my Deadline account so I would have it for when I was writing up shows. And it's interesting. You know, people were complaining they had headaches and vomiting. There was a strange odor. You know, policemen went to check it out and became ill and had to be given oxygen before being hospitalized. Oh, there was rescue teams, blah, 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 blah. Boiling water started coming out of the craters, and particles of rocks and cinders were found nearby. Residents are very concerned. That was one of the police people. The official Marco Lamache was reporting on that. So anyway, I saved the story because I thought, okay, this has a little hint of Smallville for my guy Brian here, you know, with the whole meteor thing. But there was a follow-up that came out the end of September, and they went on to say that, you know, there were doubts expressed by geologists that the crater was actually caused by a meteorite, and firm explanations that a meteorite would not even emit fumes or a sickness that was likely to cause. It's basically, they wrote it off to a case of mass hysteria. So all these people came out to see this big hole in the ground, and they just started getting overcome with the fumes and puking and getting dizzy and needing oxygen. But it was all mass hysteria. It was just because they saw this. Never mind the fact that it probably could have been pretty stinky and made you sick. And you know what? Maybe it wasn't even the meteorite. Maybe it's just the way it created the hole. That might have been stinky ground to begin with. And just like smushing into it and might have released some type of gases or something, you know. Anyway, they said basically onlookers, you know, were fascinated by the idea that this could be some real-life Andromeda strain from the 1969 novel by Michael Crichton, where a mysterious rock falling to Earth from outer space made anyone who went near it ill. Ooh. So.
That wasn't one of my sound effects.
So, you know, mass hysteria. Okay. Okay. Every time something happens that people don't, in the scientific community, I should qualify that, don't have a plausible answer, it's all, well, you're all nuts. It's not just one of you. You're all crazy. You're all hysterical, and you all imagine this. Okay, then. You know, now what's interesting, they said arsenic is found in the subsoil in that area of Peru, and it often contaminates the drinking water there, according to Peruvian geologists quoted on September 21st by National Geographic News. Well, then you have to wonder, so was it arsenic fumes that were released when the crater was there, and that's people were looking at it and they got sick?
Was it arsenic or old lace?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. But then they're going back to the whole mass hysteria thing, and, you know, if it's really an arsenic situation, then you just take samples of the soil,
right?
Well,
the question is, was it a real meteor?
Right. That's what the geologists were saying. They didn't think it was.
Well, you think we probably might have been tracking it, if it was a real meteor.
Yeah, with all this stuff, all the satellites up there, you know. You can find Burger King in the middle of East Jibib, but God forbid you find a meteor pelting its way towards the Earth's surface, you know.
Where's East Jibib?
No. Oh, okay. It's my parent. It's Mom and Dad calling. But that's all right.
Phone should be off.
I know. Well, it's on vibrate just in case the kids are calling and there's an emergency, but I don't think my parents have an emergency. I hope not. Well, I'll check it at commercial break. But, So, yeah, let's see. I don't know of any known... Here, who's this from? Oh, this is a geologist, Larry Grossman. He says, I don't know of any known record of a meteorite landing that emitted odors so noxious that people got sick from it. And he says, so much for the Andromeda strain.
I don't know.
Now, just because he doesn't know of that happening, it doesn't disqualify it as, well, that's not a possibility, right?
Correct.
I mean, God, Larry.
Well, they may not have any known record of a meteorite emitting odors. They don't know my father.
I mean, their there's a lot of noxious odors right here on good old planet Earth.
Exactly.
And I mean, you go disrupting them. Well, that's just it, too. In Peru, you know, you've got all those llamas and everything, and maybe the combination of llama poop and cow poop and methane and high altitudes, and you slam a rock into that, a.k.a. a meteor.
A fiery rock, no less.
Yeah. And, wow, you know, you have some pretty sickening fumes coming up out of that, them there Earth, you know. So, who knows? I just thought it was a very interesting story, you know, and that it even had the follow-up. And so we shall see. We'll have to track this and see if it is a product of collective psychosis, mass hysteria, or if they actually did something scientific and analyzed the area and it found out, was it a meteor, you know, that hit, making it a meteorite, and, you know, what was the deal, right?
Correct.
Okay. And we don't have any other parashares to share with you because nobody sent them in.
Losers.
Well, actually, the presentation I did last Sunday, the librarian said, oh, my husband has a story to send to you. And she goes, if he sends it in, would he get a membership? And I'm like, well, yeah, he's not a member. And she goes, oh, great. And I was like, well, why don't you send one, too, and you can get membership, too? She's like, oh, I will. So there you go. See?
I would have looked at her and went, blah, 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 blah.
No, seriously, when someone looks you in the eye and says, oh, I have a story. Oh, and in fact, I even got a lead on a case that we may have to do. So, although it's down in...
It's not in Philadelphia, is it?
No, Beach Haven.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Philadelphia. I guess I should just put out the warning, huh?
Why? Nobody listens.
That's true. God. If ever I even get the slightest sense of, like, you know, I don't know, like self-security or feeling good about myself, I know I can count on you to
dang
just
right.
Totally destroy.
Rip the rug right out from under you.
Thanks, Brian. All right, so maybe nobody listens, but here's the deal. Apparently, I got tracked down from a woman who books a very famous, like, psychic healer person from the ARE, which is the Association of Research of Enlightenment or something like that down in Virginia Beach. It's the Edgar Cayce thing. Well, this woman has this psychic healer come to her house like once or twice a year, and people go to her house to make appointments to see him. Apparently, this one woman who lives in the same town, Philadelphia, contacted this ARE liaison woman, saying that she's got a lot of spirits in her house, her apartment, I take it back, her apartment, and she needs help. And could this guy come to her apartment and cleanse them or talk to them? Well, this woman from the ARE, who's the liaison for the ARE, explained to her, lady, he doesn't go to people's houses. He comes up here as a favor to be in the area at my house, and people come to him. But this woman's just not getting it. So this poor woman, I think her name was Linda from the ARE, she searches online. She thinks she's found South Jersey Ghost Research because they're closer to Philadelphia, but she's really found New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. She calls the e-voice number. I get the message. I call her back. She said, this woman is so desperate. She's calling me like every day, blah, 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 and she really needs help. She's claimed she's got all these spirits and things. And I was like, well, you know, Let me have her number. So I give this woman, Patty, a call. Okay. Now, to, you know, talk to Patty, I have to take down some basic information. I tell her, don't be offended. I got to ask some standard questions that I would ask anybody to establish a baseline for, you know, what we're walking into or what we may not even walk into. There may not be anything here, but you have to figure out first. So basic things like, do you have a history of mental illness? Well, yeah, depression and anxiety. Okay. Do you wear eyeglasses? No. Do you wear hearing? Well, she said she wears eyeglasses to read. Does not wear a hearing aid. All right, what about medication? Are you on any medication? She said Ativan. Well, I didn't know what it was, so while I'm listening to her go on about her saga of 8 years ago, it started in California. She moved from California.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah. I'm searching Ativan. Well, I figure out the spelling of it, and I capture it, and sure enough, it's a drink. I'm not a drink. I'm sorry. It's a drug.
It's what she wants.
No. You need it after talking to this woman. Let me tell you. So it turns out it's a prescribed medication, anti-anxiety. However, you know, it does have the side effect properties to present the person with hallucinations, seeing colors, hearing sounds of that aren't there. So basically, I'm reading this, and I'm looking at it on the computer screen while she's telling me, I see colors. Do you ever have people that see colors? What does that mean? And I hear them, and there's so many of them here, and they keep talking, and I can't live like this. I can't even go to the store. They follow me. They follow me everywhere. Okay, lady, trust me at this point. But then I sat back, and I said, you know, the investigator in me has to sit back and say, all right, she may be a full-blown psycho at this point, and it's only because she's on these meds and stuff, and that over time that can wear down your ability to discern between reality and fiction. Okay, however, the investigator in me also knows on the metaphysical side, because she's on these drugs and she's got so many problems and she's unstable, her aura could be so perforated like Swiss cheese that it's not out of the realm on the metaphysical level for something negative, or I don't want to say demonic, but something negative or a discarnate entity to take advantage of that hole in the aura and leech, you know, and suck onto her and be attached to her. So she may have a combination of some types of kind of attachments, you know, aka possessions on some level of different things that have attached to her. However, over the past week, getting between 3 and 5 phone calls a day from this woman, my nerves have kind of run a little dry, and I was explaining to her each time that I don't have anything yet. You know, I sent out a Yahoo blast. I was trying to see if people would be interested to form a team. And then I tried to refer her to Ann Palagrudo, who has a Philadelphia Ghost Hunters Alliance right there in Philadelphia. I'm like, you should call Ann. She's right in your backyard. That's when Patty begins to tell me, well, I already talked to Anne a long time ago. She came here, and she didn't help me, and she told me she didn't do that anymore and hung up on me. Well, after a week of getting all these phone calls and me trying to explain, you know, I'm without a computer, because for an interim, I was without a computer. You know, it's a long story, but I didn't have access to email, and I was waiting to find out if people were going to be put together on a team to go there. Let me tell you, I am not wasting anybody's gas and time and sending a team down to Philadelphia. And here's why. Once I finally got a hold of Anne myself from Philadelphia, she clued me in that this woman has had a rabbi come in and do his version of an exorcism. She's had a priest come in and do a version of an exorcism. She's had Anne come in. Scott Morrow was dispatched by John Zaffis himself with a couple other investigators, which this Patty woman said, oh yeah, that John Zaffis, he sent people here and they didn't find anything. I wasn't happy with the way they conducted themselves. They didn't find anything. Well, she wasn't happy because they didn't say, yup, you're right. Here's exactly what your hallucination looks like on film. You know?
They should just call TAPS.
Ooh. So, any investigators who are out there listening, if you get a call from Patty in Philadelphia who swears she's got all these ghosts and things and spirits and she's just can't function, it's true, she can't function. She's on disability. She doesn't work. But truth to tell, after finding out that people like on the John Zaffis level investigated, didn't find anything. Someone I have known and admired and trusted for years, Anne, I mean, I knew her back when she started out in Dave Giuliano's South Jersey Ghost Research, and she went off, moved over to Philadelphia, started her own group. She has a children's, really cool children's thing for up-and-coming, like, junior ghost hunters and stuff. She's an amazing lady. I mean, these are all people established in the field who have basically said, oh, yeah, we've been contacted by her. So if I can spare any other investigators who might be contacted and have to go through, like, and unfortunately, she doesn't accept calls from people who block their numbers, because when I was trying to call her back, I did a *67, because I didn't want her to get my cell phone number, but unfortunately, her service prevented that, so I had to call back. Sure enough, she wrote down my cell phone number the next day she started calling me. So she leaves messages on my e-voice, she calls my cell phone. I just changed my cell phone number, like, a couple weeks ago because I was having problems with another person harassing me. So now it looks like I'm going to have to change it again, you know, another $15 out the window. So I'm just warning everyone, it's,
You won't have to change it. Yeah. She calls you again. You just say to her one time, don't call me again. You call me again, I'm going to have you arrested for harassment. Plain and simple.
Yeah. Well, I did, when she said, every time she calls, like, I don't mean to bother you. And so she started with that again, and Brian was sitting right here, and I'm like, you are bothering me. You're calling me three to five times a day, and there's nothing I can do. I found out you're really going to have to find a good psychiatrist. There's nothing I can do for you. Now, please stop. Didn't I say please stop calling me?
Yep.
And what did she do? She called right back, so I gave the phone to Brian. And I figure, really, here, let her have a real trip down hallucination lane, you know? Like, wait a minute, I thought I was calling Laura, and this guy answers. And what did she say to you?
Can I talk to your wife?
Wife? Sorry, but, you know, see, that's a little paranormal humor for you. We just love screwing with the screwy. But, so anyway, needless to say, anybody in the NJGHS who was kind enough to respond to the Yahoo blasting, yeah, I'd like to give it a shot, you're not gonna. Don't worry about it. I'm not gonna subject some, you know, people who are really going in from a true paranormal investigative aspect. You know, I mean, if this is someone who has already had exorcisms done by priests and rabbis and all kinds of things, we're not gonna waste our time.
I don't believe it.
Oh, really?
Wait, you think you just walked down to your priest and said, hey, can you do an exorcism?
Oh, no, no, no. This was Anne telling me. Because Anne had been involved long enough to say these different walks of religious life were coming in to help this woman, and it still wasn't good enough, you know?
Yeah, but like I said, they don't do an exorcism just when you ask it. There has to be actual proof of it.
Right, which means it was probably
it was a blessing
just to appease her, probably, you know? Which I was half tempted at one point to really say, you know what? I can do a remote healing and I'll send them all away right over the phone. It's a little extra charge for Verizon because it's very long distance calls, but in and out. But no, I stayed true to my professional paranormal investigator form and just said, you need a psychiatrist who can adjust your medication and don't bother me anymore, you know? So anyway, that's the scoop on that, and right, Brian?
Yep, that's all she wrote.
And you know what? And as paranormal investigators and ghost hunters, you know what? They're out there. These people. I've had people make crank phone calls to our number over the years. Like kids will call up screaming, "Oh my God, it's a ghost!" Ah! And they hang up, you know. And then they call back and they're laughing, and you know. And then you get people who are sincerely in need of attention and just want company and don't understand their psychoses and. You know, and do I really want to go into being a psychologist for someone and sit there and listen to them? No. I'm here to hunt the ghosts and get the research done, and you know what? And if there is something really bad attached to the person, which could be, do I want to mess with that? No. You know, so anyway, that's the scoop on that, and we'll take a quick break.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
I'm Jane Doherty, psychic medium, and author of Awakening the Mystic Gift. And you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Okay, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week's Haunted Trivia, you were asked, what is the name of the pet who was adopted by brothers Toby and Pete? And the answer was, or is, Bunnicula. And we had a winner, Mark by Lansick. He got it right, and he will be getting the NJGHS t-shirt. See, people, that's where it pays to play haunted trivia. You listen to the question, you email the answer in, and if you're the first person who emails the answer in correctly, you get an NJGHS t-shirt. Okay, so this week's haunted trivia has a skill level of fairly easy. The ghost of General von Steuben was witnessed in 1951 when a woman on a tour of the now historic site saw him sitting in a chair in the parlor on the second floor of the house. He, his ghost rather, got up from the chair and asked the woman several questions about George Washington and the affairs of the nation in a distant-sounding voice. He appeared to be shocked by the current date, she told him, as well as the answers to his questions. Suddenly, he disappeared from the woman's view. What is the name of this historic site located in Hackensack, New Jersey? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the t-shirt. Okay. So I got to remind people about the NJGHS 500, the party that's taking place November 17th. I'm still waiting to hear back from Eastern State as far as dispatching the next certification team. So stay tuned for people who registered for that. Stay tuned. I'm waiting to hear back. They've got their hands full right now at Eastern State with the terror behind the walls. It's in full gear. But the NJGHS 500 will be November 17th. We've had more people register for the party.
About time.
Yeah. You know, people, you know, you're going to get lots to eat, lots to drink, and Johnny Peso. I mean, what else, you know, for $25 a head to go out and have a good time? Well worth it. So, and we need to celebrate. We really need to. This is a big deal.
How many are we up to?
Well, including paid people and free people, we're at about 15.
I meant membership.
Oh, let's see, 4788. We're at about close to 490. It was like 489 or 490. Yeah, 489, I think.
Not bad.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to clinch the 500 by the 500 party, so not a problem. Anyway, I'm going to remind you all to stay tuned to the NJGHS.net website and sign up for our Yahoo groups. It's right there on the homepage. It keeps you up to date. We've got our last cemetery hunt taking place on Friday, October 5th. Dina Tirico is leading it. In fact, I just scoped out this cemetery that she's going to be doing. It's the Pequest Union Cemetery on Cemetery Road and Old Cemetery Road. The place is perfect for ghost hunting. I went up there. Could not get over it. There's no houses around it. It's just like a cemetery stuck in the middle of Great Meadows, New Jersey, just there, you know? So you have like all this privacy and big, huge cemetery to wander around in. So people, make sure you're there at 8:45 to sign the sign-in waiver sheet with Dina and get the rundown. If you're any newbies, first-time investigating, make sure you make that known to Dina so she can take you by the hand and give you some good training. But it's really going to be great. So that's this Friday, October 5th. And that's our last one of the season. So, you know, because then it's all the Halloween stuff and it gets too cold. But we have some private investigations. I know we're doing a revisit of an investigation that I'm going down to Spring Lake Heights on October 13th. But that's a private investigation. So private, we can't even say where the house is, who the owners are, blah, 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 blah. Suffice to say, it's pretty intense, so we're doing a revisit on that one. It'll be my first visit to the place, but the other team members, their revisit. So, okay. So, thanks to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the King.
As always, our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish, Dina Chirico, and Laura Lindemann. Thanks to you, Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com, for our theme song. And, of course, thanks to all of you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life you have to meet the deadline.